Hello, my name is Dr. Wendy Baer. I'm a psychiatrist at the Winship Cancer Institute. We're here today for another episode of Our Stories podcast, a production of the Winship Hematology and Medical Oncology Wellness Program. Today, I have the pleasure of welcoming Dr. Fouad El-Rassi to have a conversation with us about his journey in medicine. Fouad, thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
Thank you for hosting me. I'm very happy to be here.
I'd like to start, if you don't mind, by having you tell our listeners a little bit about why you chose to go into medicine, what maybe drew you to medicine from the beginning of your career.
Yes. So what really drove me into medicine is a story pertaining to my grandfather, who was sick towards the end of his life and had to go through several issues in his healthcare. And I saw the amount of dedication my father and my mother had to provide it to him in his care. And that kind of drove me into the field of medicine. Growing up, I've always thought I would like to do or become an engineer. And I was even accepted into computer engineering and undergrad for chemistry. And I was still undecided, but I think at the end of the day, I did the right thing choosing to go into medicine. In my medical school year, when I hit the hematology courses in classes, I was just fascinated by the different mechanisms and of coagulation, of hemoglobinopathies, and that's where my focus is right now, in sickle cell disease and hemoglobinopathies. And I really enjoy what I do, and if I look back, I wouldn't change a thing.
You wouldn't change a thing?
I would not change a single thing, yeah. Just because I think this is where I really enjoy what I do, and I really like to help and aid folks who need that. And that's my, I think, my my message for the world, I guess.
Yeah. To focus on what you can do to help and to think about which group of people need help right now. And certainly within the sickle cell community, there's so much pain, obviously, and suffering, so many challenges with that disease that can be just really devastating in terms of people's lives. Are there situations that come to mind when you think of the patients that you've seen with sickle cell over the years where it's also been hard for you to see what's going on with them, but then at the same time see how people are able to manage such a difficult disease like sickle cell?
Yes. So sickle cell is a challenging disease because the main manifestation in sickle cell is pain crisis.
Yeah,
and the patients who really have these events, they're really, you know, concerned about having repeat events and having to deal with pain, and that becomes very difficult. And you know, you can control the pain with pain medicines, but the more things progress, it becomes more difficult. So it's most of the time very challenging, but at the same time, I like to look at every single patient with sickle cell disease that I treat as a whole and not just focus on pain. So when you try to establish this relationship, this bond of trust to take care of them, it's not just focusing on pain. It's focusing about their wholesome, how they're doing everything, life, work, family, socially. So yes, the pain aspect is difficult, but if you try to address the patient as a whole, you can really get to something that can help break through into the pain control. That could be something from a family support level or adjusting work conditions that can exacerbate the pain. Also, it can be disease-modifying agents for sickle cell disease that the patient may have not, you know, used or utilized, that we can, with a good relationship, explain the side effects and utilize and get the benefit of that to help control pain. It's difficult to just say like sickle cell disease is only pain management. a significant part is, but there's a big piece that has to be fulfilled. And that's what I enjoy in doing, is combining both entities so that I can help benefit the patients that I treat.
Yeah. I love how you talked about taking care of the whole person. And I think when we in medicine get sort of down a specialized track, it can get hard because there's so much sophisticated science in those specialized tracks. But when we think about the whole person, it includes their relationship with you and their relationship with their family and how well they're getting along. And of course, that plops right down into this wellness domain, and finding ways to help them cope is a wellness strategy in addition to all the sophisticated biologic modalities we have for treatment.
That is true. The wellness approach is not just for the patient, but also for the family, because sometimes they don't understand. Or there's just, you know, it's difficult to imagine what the patient is going through. And I always encourage patients, no matter how old they are, to bring in family members, people they want them to understand more, because that helps communicate the whole message that we're really here to care for you, all of us, in different ways. But the wellness part is really important in getting the care you need.
So you had mentioned your family as inspiration for why you went into medicine, your grandfather. Can you tell me a couple of things about your grandfather that maybe you hold on to, or maybe part of the reason that you thought, this is the guy that if I had been a doctor at that time, I would have wanted to take care of?
Yeah, so my grandfather was the school principal and the town that my father comes originally from. So he was always revered and had this big image drove me to really try to, you know, see what he used to do for the townspeople. And everybody I bumped into in my teenage years would always talk highly of how he helped people, how he addressed the need for education and you know, doing something in your life. And that always left something imprinted in me.
So you saw your parents taking care of him, but you also saw his professional life in education, and that the community noticed that he was such an important part of helping people in his home. So that is really sweet how even as a young person, you could see that, you know, with your grandfather. So you went into chemistry, but then that led you to medicine. So there's a lot of science in your background, but also a lot of interest in taking care of the whole person. We spoke a little bit about addressing wellness for patients and families. How do you take care of your own wellness? How do you find ways in your day-to-day life to experience some peace of mind?
Well, it's difficult on a day-to-day basis because of our time constraints, but I try to always get home and not really take a lot of amount of work to do from home. At least spend a couple of hours with my wife, who's an artist, and who always wants to discuss with me her art projects, which in a way are therapeutic for me, because they let my mind go into the world of art and imagine different things. And really be focused on, you know, the medical aspect, because you need a break. You need a mental break. And she is truly a mental break for me. And also my children who are, toddlers. They're 5 and 3. And they're great around the house. They're always fun to do things with until they get to bed. And then I can get back to my email and do some more work. But those 2-3 hours of time around dinner that I could spend with my wife and kids are really fantastic, because they really give me a break. I think that's good on a daily aspect. I try on the weekends to do some exercise. My mentor, Jean Coury, got me into running. He was a great loss, but I try to keep some of that going on with running. And now I'm doing some cycling. Some road biking, which is also good. So that's a good way to try to stay healthy and clear my mind at least a few hours on the weekend.
I didn't know that Dr. Coury had been your mentor. And for our listeners, maybe while I catch my breath, because you just brought tears to my eyes thinking about him, maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about Dr. Corey.
Yeah, so he was like a big brother to me more than anything. He was he was great in every aspect in my training and in life. So he had such a big impact on just my development into what I am.
Yeah,
I think I had the right mold, because it's not you have to be equipped, but I really had such wonderful mentorship that I dearly miss now.
Yeah,
I try to. I remember him on a daily basis in my work. I do clinical research, so I follow the steps he taught me in doing clinical research, in asking questions relating to patient care. And I'm also, believe it or not, so my wife is his wife's sister, so I'm related to him now.
Oh! You're a relative even.
Yes. And I'm part of the family, so we are all one big family here in Atlanta.
Yes,
my wife Teresa, his wife Angela, and the kids. So, so we're like one big family, and I'm just grateful that I got to work with him, meet him, and it really changed my life tremendously to the better. So, dearly missed. Yeah.
So for our listeners, Dr. Corey was an oncologist who practiced at Winship for many years. And I think he would have gladly participated in all our wellness programs, because the times that I did get to speak with him, he was interested in all kinds of things, in art, in being outdoors, in family, certainly interested in patients as people and taking care of the whole person, it seemed to me.
I think I got that from him. I remember when I was working with him as a fellow, you know, he knew something special about every single patient he had.
A link
that you can, you know, communicate to the patient without having to discuss medicine,
right?
Sports, you know, something, and that's what I try to do, you know, and with my patient here is also have a level of communication and wellness that just bridges not just the medical side, but also the personal side, the social side.
And I think that there is real medicine in that for the patient, but I think there's also medicine in that for the physician and clinician care provider teams, because I think it gives you a boost in your work when you get to have those moments of connection with other people. I also heard you say that you were taking some specific time for family, like putting email away, putting work away, letting your brain go to a creative pursuit, enjoy the art, enjoy the stories that your wife brings of her life in art. And then obviously 3 and 5 are busy ages. There's quite a lot of work to do in that, but there's also a great deal of joy, I think. So children with their wonder and easy laughter and little judgment can be quite inspiring, maybe for us all. How have you been weathering these difficult times with the pandemic, the social justice movement, and certainly for the sickle cell community has been really intense, even with lifetime experiences. The social justice movement, it brings it all up again, and obviously the sickle cell community being predominantly African American. And then, of course, the devastating news out of Beirut with the explosion. There's just so many things in the news. Like, how do you tolerate all that? How do you put the news into some kind of perspective so you can keep your attention on your family and your work and your patient care?
It's a lot. Everything happening together, it's a lot, because, yes, I am here physically, but mentally, I'm also, a part of me is in Beirut, because my parents... Yeah. My wife's parents, relatives all still live there and were affected by this devastation that happened. I try to give time to everything in my day. Mm-hmm. I try to finish my work. Obviously now with COVID-19 and sickle cell disease, a lot of our patients are preferring to have virtual visits, and we're accommodating that in the sickle cell center. Trying our best to get all their requests and patient care issues taken care of. And that's what I spend most of my days doing. But at the same time, when I go back home, again, spend time with my family, but at the same time, try to spend at least an hour or less, maybe a day, half an hour, just to catch up on news from Lebanon, mm-hmm. from Beirut.
Yeah.
It's a dear city. It's where I grew up there. And mm-hmm. I went to school at AUB, American yeah. University of Beirut.
Yeah.
And that was also deeply affected in what happened. And
yeah.
coincidentally, I'm also the chapter president for AUB in Atlanta. Uh-huh. So that adds more work, but I'm happy to do it. And I've been able yeah. to gather the different chapter members here in Atlanta to support mm-hmm. With fundraising to yeah. AUB to help with the devastation that happened.
Mm-hmm.
The current president of AUB, Dr. Fahd Loukouri, also played a significant role in my development. He was right. the chair of hematology oncology, and he's there now as president of AUB. And yeah. and I feel like some of me in what I try to get in touch with and what's going on in Beirut is to help also support my alma mater and raise yeah. some funds. And we've been successful, and we're working on different projects right. with the community. So
yeah.
there are many things that will make me, you know, busy and feel tired, but at the same time, mm-hmm. I'm doing other things that can help feel I'm changing. I'm yeah. helping improve things, which is good to balance in these difficult times. So finding a cause can help you definitely persevere, whether it be, you know, a fundraising or, you know, fighting social injustice.
Yep.
Or even, helping your underserved population of patients who really appreciate everything you do. I mean, there's many factors that really help you, help me specifically deal with all the difficulties going on right now.
Yeah. I you just said so much, and I appreciate you sharing all that you did. There is real value in altruism. I mean, it really can give us a boost. It's not just the work you do for other people, but it really... helps you feel like you've taken a crisis and a devastating event like the explosion and help the people that are here and work towards healing. Also with being chapter president, staying connected culturally to your roots and your family. I think for all of us, figuring out where we sort of feel rooted and figuring out how to maintain connections helps, you know, with the distress, with difficult news. And then putting a limit, like you said, like 30 minutes or an hour to catch up with the news. You don't have to catch every single tweet from every single everybody, but, you know, to stay informed seems pretty reasonable to put some limits around that. And yes, we do have that connection here at Winship with Dr. Curry in Beirut, and everybody very concerned about the well-being of him and his university, and checking in with people and contributing where we
yeah,
can.
And I really appreciate that, because I know several emails came out from Winship, from the Hematology
yeah.
Oncology Department,
yeah.
with Dr. Loniel and Dr. Curran, and this is mm-hmm. great support, and this is utmost altruism to helping another university that's struggling,
yeah.
because it's just, you know, it's just mm-hmm. unselfish. And
yeah.
even though everybody here is going through a financial crisis, but there
sure.
are different levels of crises that people mm-hmm. can tolerate. And I think we're still okay here compared to the amount of, you know, devastation and change that's happened.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. And I do think that you're right that there is the relative piece. And sometimes we have to shift our focus to what we do have and what we can share and look at what our blessings are given the, you know, around the world.
I agree with that a lot. I mean, sometimes yeah. here we may, yes, we're dealing with a lot of stressors in life here, but we may forget our blessings. So it's always good to
yeah.
pause and look back. And just say, you know, if I was there when this huge explosion happened in Beirut with mm-hmm. my kids and wife, we probably would have been living there and had to go through major things that I cannot imagine.
Yeah.
So I just
yeah.
count my blessings and say, you know, it's good to be here. Yes, life
yeah.
is, there's a lot of injustice, but step by step, we can make a change. And you don't
yeah.
have to have a thousand steps altogether, but really mm-hmm. going step by step, change starts and I think change is happening.
Those were lovely words. I think we'll wrap up our podcast with that lovely phrase about change happening and giving ourselves a moment to go step by step, not feeling like it all has to be done at once, and recognizing our blessings and trying to practice some gratitude day to day. Well, Dr. El-Rassi, it's been my pleasure. I'm so glad we got to talk today, and I look forward to when the pandemic is over and we can talk face-to-face instead of video-to-video.
Likewise, this was great. This was, I was a bit fearing this, but this was kind of cathartic, you know, in a way, just to talk out loud. So thank you for the opportunity.
Well, I appreciate that. And you're not the first person who's talked to the psychiatrist and said, I didn't know what to expect. So I do hear that throughout the day. Okay, take care. I hope the rest of your day goes smoothly.
You too. Thank you.